Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3? I'd like to begin reading in verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. Let's start in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things that you have learned. Now our Lord said to those disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then are you my true disciples. Now it is a very sobering thing to know and to see that there are some who seem to begin who do not continue in his word. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he said that Christ would present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that attractive? To be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable. But he said in verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. John says concerning some, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued. There's the word. They would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, this word continue is also translated to abide. If you abide in my word, to dwell, if you dwell in my word, to endure, if you endure in my word, to remain, if you remain in my word, if you stand in my word, if you tarry. You tarry in places you enjoy being. If you tarry in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, Paul says to Timothy in our text, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but continue thou in the things that you've learned. Abide in the things that you've learned. Dwell in the things that you've learned. Remain in the things that you've learned. Stand in the things that you've learned. Tarry in the things that you have learned and been assured of. Now, what have we really learned and been assured of? I've asked myself that question. What have I really learned? What has God actually taught me? What is it that I really believe and am assured of? Well, we know from this passage of Scripture that I just read that it has something to do with the Scriptures. He said, but continue thou in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. Now, whatever it is we've learned has something to do with the Holy Scripture. I don't trust my experience. I don't trust my thoughts. I really don't. All I trust that I truly learned is that which comes from the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Now, we have learned that this book is the inspired Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, God breathed. And you know what? I really believe that. I really do. I believe this is the book of God. I believe He wrote this book. And everything we believe, we have to begin right here. The Holy Scriptures. I believe this book is the inspired Word of God. And we have learned that God is as this book declares Him to be. We believe that, don't we? We couldn't know a thing about the living God without this book. We could guess, we could speculate, but we couldn't know who He is or what He's really like apart from this book we call the Bible. We know that God is. We know that God is holy. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God is just. We know that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. We know that God is omniscient, that He's all-wise. We know God is omnipresent everywhere. We know God is most gracious and most merciful, and we know that from this book. We know that God is as this book presents Him to be. We've learned that. We believe this is the living God. And we have learned that man is as the Bible declares him to be. We've learned that. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, total depravity isn't just a doctrine. It isn't just a doctrine we give assent to. It's something we really believe. We really believe we're totally depraved. That's what the Scripture says regarding us. Totally depraved. Now, understand, total depravity doesn't mean we're all out murdering people and stealing and committing all kinds of horrible crimes. We could, apart from the grace of God, but total depravity doesn't mean that's what we're doing. What it means is all of our faculties are under the dominion of sin by nature. I'm born into this world with a corrupt heart, with a mind that doesn't understand, with a will that is chained to an evil nature, with affections where I love what I ought to hate and I hate what I ought to love. That's what total depravity means. It means all of our, everything we are, is under the dominion of sin. Thank God for restraining grace. We could be much worse. You can be sure of that. We could be much worse. But we believe that we are as the Bible declares us to be. Sinners. Have you been taught that? Have you been taught that you're a real sinner in need of a real Savior? Now, if you've been taught that you're a sinner, you know that salvation is as the Bible declares it to be. Jonah said in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. And this is exactly what you need. This is exactly what I need. Salvation to be a work of the Lord. Salvation's of the Father, an eternal election, when He chose who would be saved. Salvation is of the Son in redemption, when He redeemed me and paid for my sins and made me perfect before God. Salvation's of God the Holy Spirit, when He invincibly and irresistibly gives me life, when He says, live, and I believe. I've learned that. I've learned that. Continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of. I've been assured of this. The Bible is the Word of God. God is as the Bible declares Him to be. Man is as the Bible declares him to be. And salvation is as the Bible declares it to be. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, Paul says to Timothy, continue. Don't get away from this. Don't move on. Don't go on to bigger and better things. Stay right here. That's why Paul said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Continue, dwell, remain. Don't leave here knowing who you learned them from. Notice what he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, was Paul talking about himself? Well, he may have been. He may have been. You know, Timothy did learn the gospel from Paul. I learned the gospel from Henry Mahan. The Lord used a man to teach me the gospel. Some of you have learned the gospel through my instrumentality. God uses men to teach people the gospel. But Paul may have been talking about Timothy's mother and grandmother. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 3, I thank my God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. His tears of repentance, his tears of joy, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the unfaked, the unacted out. It's not an act. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that is in thee also. Surely these women had a tremendous influence on Timothy. His grandmother and his mother. They had unfeigned faith in them, and they taught Timothy the way of faith. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. I thought of some of you. The first person that came to my mind was John Wamsley, who was the first kid in this church. Well, from a child, he's heard the gospel. I remember when he was born. And what a blessing. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. What a blessing to be under the influence of the gospel. He could have meant his grandmother and his mother. And notice he says, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. He was taught a reverence for the Word of God. The Word read, and the Word preached. Now it is so sad, it's heartbreaking, to see parents teach their children by example that it is okay for some things to take priority over the preaching of the gospel. It's just so sad. We would never say that, but our actions speak louder than our words. But you can be sure that Lois and Eunice taught Timothy the gospel. But let me ask you this. Notice how he says in our text in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. If you've really learned something, who's taught you? If you've really learned something, who taught you? It wasn't me. It wasn't any man. Men might have been used as the instrumentality, but if you've learned anything, God has been your teacher. Our Lord said in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And if you and I know anything, if we've ever truly learned anything, it's the Lord who has taught us. There was a time when I didn't really understand that I was a sinner. I'd take the term, I knew it was proper, but I didn't really know what it meant. I learned that I really was and really am a sinner. Who taught me that? Only the Lord can teach that. There was a time when I didn't know what it meant to trust Christ as my righteousness before God. Didn't even know what that meant. Just, it was words, it was theology, it was doctrine. Didn't know what it meant. I do now. I know what it means to trust His righteousness as my only righteousness before God. He's all I've got. Now, who taught me to do that? That was the Lord who taught me that. Only the Lord can teach a man the gospel. So I really believe what Paul meant when he said, knowing of whom you've learned them. Who taught you what you really believe? It's the Lord Himself. I couldn't help but thinking of those two thieves. Both of them began cursing Christ, insulting Christ, having no love for Christ. One continued his cursing and swearing and blasphemy. The other grew strangely silent. He said, "Don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Who taught him that? And then he looked at this one who nobody else saw he was Lord, and he said, "Lord." He knew he was the Lord. Who taught him that? "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." You're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty, ruling, reigning king. Oh, would you remember me when you return? Who taught him that? You see, the Lord was that man's teacher. God taught him. You know, when God teaches you, you continue, don't you? That's why he says to Timothy, "Continue thou." Don't leave. Don't graduate from it. "Continue thou in the things you've learned, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures." Look at verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You've known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I love the way the Scripture speaks of itself. "The Scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Now, wait a minute. Scripture didn't say that. God said it. Yes, Scripture said it. "For the Scripture preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Personality is attributed to the Scripture. The Scripture, you see, the Scripture is the Word of God. And what you and I think about God Himself is seen in our attitude toward this book, isn't it? "From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, this is the one thing needful. Salvation. Salvation. I need the Lord to save me, don't you? I need Him to save me from my sins. I need Him to save me from myself. I need save from myself. I need the Lord to do something for me. The one thing needful is salvation. "And the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And I love the way His name here is called Christ Jesus. I love Jesus Christ. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Christ Jesus. Christ is His office. Jesus is His name as Savior. Christ, God's prophet, the prophet Savior who brings me the Word of God. Priest Savior who brings me into God's presence and causes me to be accepted. King Savior who rules and reigns and causes me to do His will, who as an act of His sovereign will gives me life. Faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. Everything from Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that is literally God breathed. Now, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. Now, it's either a fairy tale and a bunch of interesting stories that really don't matter, or it is what it claims to be, the very Word of God, God breathed. Hold your finger there and turn to Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Don't you love it when the gospel becomes my gospel? It's the gospel that saved me. Yes, it's the gospel. It's the definite article. It's the gospel. And what I believe about it doesn't have any bearing on it. But oh, how precious it is when it becomes my gospel. The gospel that saved me. This is the gospel for me. Now to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Now that's what the scriptures are. Scriptures are the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest through the written word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I love what Peter called it, a more sure word of prophecy. I love that because I would have loved to have been on the mountain. I would have loved to have been in that inner circle of Peter, James, and John, brought in the rest of the disciples. You know, he let the other nine out. He brought those three in. I would like to have been one of them, wouldn't you? I sure would have. And when he made himself known the way he did, and they saw his divinity burst through his humanity, and they witnessed it. But Peter tells us we have something better than that. We have something more sure than that. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. You and I have been given something better than what they had, more sure. The Holy Scriptures. Turn with me for a moment to Luke 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, if I look at you and I say, you fool, slow of heart to believe, you probably get irritated. You should. I shouldn't talk to you that way. Shouldn't. And you shouldn't talk to me that way either. You fool, slow of heart to believe. I mean, that's not the way we normally talk to each other. But isn't it interesting the way the Lord can speak that way to us and we're not offended? Well, that's the truth. I think if you then being evil, that's what he said to his disciples. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? The Lord can speak differently, can't he? I mean, he's the Lord. And he says to his children, those whom he loves, and we say, yep, that's me. I fit the description. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that message? Look in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures, all Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Every word from Genesis to Revelation. The Scriptures alone. I had someone write me just last week. And they said, I'd like to have some kind of confession or some kind of that tells what you believe. Some kind of document or confession or creed. And I said, well, believe the Bible. I wasn't being smart aleck. The Bible's our creed, isn't it? The Bible's our confession. I don't give a flip about men's confessions or creeds. I care less about them. What saith the Scripture is the only thing that counts. And, if somebody wants to know what we believe, all they got to do is show up once and they're going to get a pretty good idea, aren't they? I mean, we believe the gospel. And that's what we preach, the Scriptures. The Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look what he says next in our text, back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, is beneficial, is advantageous. What a profitable, beneficial thing it is for us to have the Scriptures, for the kids to hear the Scripture preached, to read the Bible in our homes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Now, most things really are not profitable. Wouldn't you agree with that? Things that we do, places we go, company we keep, which are really no benefit to our soul. Oh, that we would be like Mary. I love that passage of Scripture where the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you're careful, you're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful." And Mary hath chosen that good part, sitting at His feet and hearing His word, and that shall not be taken from her. Value nothing any more than you'll value it on Judgment Day. What will be important on that great day? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And He gives these four things. This is what inspired this message, thinking about these things. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ. God said, "My doctrine shall drop as rain, the doctrine which is according to godliness," the doctrine of God. Now, whenever the Scripture speaks of doctrines in the plural, it's always bad. Doctrines of devils, doctrines of men. But the doctrine is the one singular doctrine of God. And this whole book is the doctrine of God. Now, to some, this doctrine is words of spirit and life. And to others, it's dry, dead doctrine, depending upon the state of the heart. But the doctrine of God is our life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And how we need doctrine, teaching concerning who God is and what God says about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Now, the next word He uses is reproof. All Scripture is profitable for reproof. Let me read a Scripture from John chapter 3, verse 20. We read, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed." That's why he doesn't come to the light. He doesn't want his deeds to be exposed for what they really are. Do you know we can't really see something for what it really is apart from the light of God's Word? It's God's Word that exposes the truth concerning all things. And then the next word is correction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction. Correction. Now, when we think of correction, we generally think of getting whipped or something, being chastened. And that's really not the right idea. Correction. Here's an example. You ever sit in a plane and you look at all the arcs of the different places that the planes are going? When you look in the books on the back, you know, you look, this was going here. It's an arc. Every plane has a certain arc that it's got to stay on to reach its destination. But the whole time that thing is in the air, it's getting knocked off the arc. Wind blows it, it has to be corrected. It has to be brought back to the center. It has to be brought back to the right place. It's always being knocked backwards and forward. Isn't that us? Isn't that us? Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave. To leave the God I love. You know what I need? I need Him to knock me back in place. I need to be corrected. We can have wrong attitudes, wrong thoughts. You know, I don't trust what I think. I really don't. I can see something and it's not there. I need to be brought back to the ark. I need to be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to take something and restore it to an upright state. The word is actually also translated chastened. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son he receives. And if I'm without chastisement, that means I'm not one of his children. In that sense, I want to be chastened. I want to be corrected. I want to be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ continually.
You don't correct other people's children, do you? You only correct your own. I want to be one of his own children whom he corrects. The word of God is profitable for correction, isn't it? My soul, I need corrected over and over again. And then he says the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. You know, by nature, we're so ignorant as to what this thing of righteousness really is. The word of God brings me always back to this. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness, the perfect obedience, the law keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness there is. That's the only righteousness that I plead before God. Right now. Right now, I don't want to be judged as a preacher. I don't want to be judged as a husband. I don't want to be judged about anything that has anything to do with me. All I want to be seen is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness. Somebody says, well, that's a cop-out. You say, well, it may be, but that's the only hope I got. His righteousness. His righteousness imputed to me. His righteousness imparted in the new nature. If you're given a new nature that believes, that's his righteousness. Partakers of the divine nature. I need instruction in righteousness. To bring me always to Christ as my righteousness before God. And there isn't anything makes me happier than that. To know that his righteousness is my personal righteousness before God. Now this doctrine, this reproof, this correction, this instruction in righteousness has this end. That the man of God. I love that phrase. If I'm a believer, I'm a man of God. A woman of God. But a man of God. That's special, isn't it? A man of God. The Holy Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. Complete. I think of when Paul said to the Thessalonians that he came to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I got plenty of that, don't you? And I need to be perfected or completed. Paul said to Titus, I sent you to Crete in order to perfect that which is lacking with the churches there. Well, every local church has plenty lacking because we've got a bunch of sinners in it. I mean, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. But I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for the local assembly of God's saints. But there's plenty lacking with all of us, isn't there? And we need his grace to reprove us and to give us instruction in righteousness and to correct us and to teach us. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Look in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Beginning in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Well, I'm thankful it's that way because I sure don't have any works of righteousness that I can plead before God. But thank God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace,
We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that you preach over and over and over again, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Do you know the only way you and I will be careful to maintain good works is if we hear salvation's not by works over and over and over again. And the only way we'll be careful to maintain good works is by hearing the gospel of God's grace. Now, Paul says to Timothy, and let's put ourselves in Timothy's place, but continue thou. Don't leave. Don't lose your sense of need. Don't graduate past, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned and the Lord taught you these things, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I want to be taught. I want to be exposed. I want to be corrected. And I want to be instructed in righteousness. Let's pray.